Hallelujah. You know, as we started this new year, when I say new year, we're midway through it, but it is a new year. And, you know, when we started this year, there were some things that we were sharing. I know Pastor Greg was sharing some things, but we all were sharing some things. And when I look back and reflect just a few months ago what we were sharing, sometimes the Holy Spirit will lead you to share some things that you're following His direction, but He may not unfold and reveal the why. So when I go back and look at some of the messages that I was sharing at the beginning of the year and the first few months, it's interesting to me, but I believe that God was preparing us for some things that we're walking through right now. I was sharing on the power of the seed, and I was also sharing some messages on whose report will you believe. And so we need to look at the Word of God, and in this season, God wants to help us walk through and confront some of the things and challenges that we're facing in this nation, and it may be in your life. And so here we know we've got all of these things that have been unleashed on this earth, not only just in this country, but in this earth. We see all of the turmoil in the natural realm. And so one thing I'm encouraged is it says that fix our attention on things above and not things on this earth. For the things that we see here in the natural are what? Temporary. They're temporal. But the things above are eternal. So if we walk through things, know that they're temporal, they're temporary. And so we can confront them with faith. Whosoever is what? Born of God, 1 John 5:4, whoever is born of God does what? Overcometh the world. And this is the victory, glory to God, that overcometh the world. What? What overcomes the world? The world system, we say, what overcomes it? The Word of God says, our faith overcomes it. And Galatians 5:6, what does it say? Our faith worketh by what? Love, the love of God, the God kind of love. And so we want to make sure that we're growing in love and growing in faith. We're expanding, we're meditating in the Word of God, and we're operating, walking by faith and not by sight. So let's open our lesson up this evening talking about faith. And you know, it's important to look at some scriptures here that I wanted to reference. 2 Corinthians in 4, verse 13. And we can look at the King James Version here in 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says, this is Paul writing here at the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. We having what? The spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and then what are we supposed to do? Therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. And I like the Amplified Classic because this really is referencing the psalmist David, what he said in Psalm 116. And you can see that there on the screen, Psalm 116, verse 10. It says, yet we have the same spirit of faith as he had, who wrote, I have believed, and therefore have I spoken. We too believe and therefore speak. What do we believe? We believe what God has spoken. We believe God. Hallelujah. And I like this particular translation. We won't show on the screen, but this is the living Bible. It says, we boldly say, I like this, we boldly say what we believe. You know, a lot of people boldly say what they believe. It's just not the Word of God. But this is saying here, we want to boldly believe. It says here, we boldly say what we believe trusting God to care for us, just as the psalm writer did when he said, I believe and therefore I speak. You know, faith, you know, I reflect on this. You can teach principles, but the spirit of something cannot be taught. You know, when we talk about the spirit of something, we're talking about the attitude. So you can be taught principles of something, but the attitude of something, the spirit of something is caught. So the principles of faith are taught, but the spirit of faith is what? Caught. It's internalized. So you can see here what happened. Joshua caught the spirit of faith from who? From Moses. So you catch the spirit of faith by what? Association. You hang around people enough who have this attitude or spirit of faith, you catch it. And so we can see that. Joshua caught it from Moses. Elisha caught the spirit of faith from who? Elijah. The disciples, they spent all their time around Jesus. They caught the spirit of faith. Timothy caught that from Paul. So something that Reinhard Bonnke shared when he was alive, he said, the Lord told him, my word in your mouth is just as powerful as my word in my mouth. Isn't that a powerful statement? He was going through something and he was looking down upon himself and saying, how could I do that? I don't have the position or stature or the power. And Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, spoke to him and said, my word in your mouth is just as powerful as my word in my mouth. So that revelation, that revealing to him did what? It caused him to get out there and to do what? Operate in faith. It caused a spirit of faith to be awakened in him. Now, one thing that we can see from Mark 11, 22 and 23, I'm just going to turn over there. We're familiar with this scripture. When we talk about faith has no limits, you can see that right from Mark 11, 22 and 23. And Mark 11, 22, it says what? Have faith in God. So when we talk about having no limits, when you look at Mark 11, 23, I'm going to read this in the King James. It says, for verily, or I'll read it, I'll tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be, or it says, whosoever, they put it up, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, that's an obstacle, that's something that confronts you, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall what? Believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. No limits here. Faith has no limits. You believe in your heart, and you what? You say with your mouth. You believe the things that you're saying shall come to pass. What things? Things that God has already bought and paid for through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and the shed blood. So those things that have been bought and paid for, those things that are in our covenant, we can boldly say, this is mine. I take it. I'm going to operate in this. I'm going to do this. And so we can see here, just from Mark 11, 22 and 23, faith is what? Voice activated. The word spoken to you must be spoken through you. So if the word is spoken to you, you've got to speak it. Something that faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith, the word spoken, must be what? Released and spoken through us. So the spirit of faith enables us to face the storms of life and overcome them. So the spirit of faith, believing in our hearts and speaking with our mouths allow us or position us to overcome, confront, and overcome every single obstacle that we face in life. Here's a familiar scripture verse in Acts 27, verse 25. This is Paul, and here he's in the middle of a storm. They pushed off, and of course they were, you know, it says here they had pulled in. They waited for the, you know, they knew that says the time for sailing was yet spent, and it said the sailing was possibly dangerous. And they said, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only the lading of the ship, but also of our lives." But in verse 25 of that, here they are in the middle of a storm. And so what happens? Paul gets up, and he said here, verse 23, "There stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given all them that sail with thee." Verse 25, "Wherefore, sirs, be of what? Good cheer." Certainly wasn't a cheerful situation. He said, "Be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be as it was told me." What has God spoken to you? What has he spoken to you through his word? What has he promised in his word to you? What is he, the entrance of his word bringeth light. What word has he revealed to you? What has he spoken to you? You need to get right up and say, "I believe God just as he has spoken to me. And I shall have this, I will do this in the name of Jesus." So right here, we can see here, right in the middle of trouble, right in the middle of the storm, Paul got up and what did he say? "Cheer up, everybody." He said, "I believe God and he's going to get us through this. We're going to see our way through." And so just the same way here, we're walking through something. We're not, what is Psalm 23? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Hallelujah. And so we can see here that we need to take God's word as he has spoken it to us and revealed it to us. And as we were sharing Sunday, hold tight. Don't budge. Don't even budge an inch. And you get up and say, "I believe God." It may hurt. You may even shed some tears through it, but you release words of what you believe. "I believe what I say, and it shall come to pass. I will have this. I will do this. I am healed. I am prosperous." And so you need to begin to say what you believe. What do we believe? We believe the word of God. You know, when we talk about the spirit of faith, I was thinking of something just before I came in, and some of us have heard this. I played sports, you know, at a certain level. I didn't play anything semi-professional, professional, but I did play sports. Enough of it. You ever hear this term, the team spirit? And so it wasn't the team principles. The team was taught principles of how to play that particular sport, but it didn't say the team principles. It said the team spirit. Hallelujah. And so we see here that just something I pulled off the internet, it says it means, what does team spirit mean? There's a lot of different synonyms for it, but there's a couple of things that stood out to me. It says the capacity of people to maintain belief in an institution or a goal or even in oneself or others. So certain synonyms around that are confidence, optimism. This is the team spirit. Optimism, assurance, attitude. We've heard this, the esprit de corps. We've heard this term. The morale, the heart, the determination. It's a team spirit. And so the same thing, the spirit of faith is not just the principles of faith, but faith, once it becomes planted and watered and alive, there's a spirit of faith. There's a spirit that I can conquer this, I can do this, I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. That's a spirit of faith. Not I hope so, not maybe we're going through. No, we're going through, and we're going to the other side. Just like Paul, right in the middle of the storm, he said, cheer up, everyone. I believe God. And so just what we're seeing right now, all of the various things that are going on, we need to do what? We need to have a spirit of faith. And that spirit of faith is what? It's unlimited. Why? Because faith is not limited. And neither is the spirit of faith. It's not limited. Why? Because it's supernatural. It's God-like faith. And it can't be limited. Glory to God. So here's a statement that F.F. Bosworth, this is a person that lived, he wrote Christ the Healer, but he lived in the late 1800s, early 1900s. But he made this statement. He said, a spiritual law that few recognize is that our confession rules us. It is what we confess with our lips that really dominates our inner being. Nothing will establish you and build your faith as quickly as confession. The confession of your lips that has grown out of faith in your heart will absolutely defeat the adversary in every combat. God can be no bigger in you than you confess him to be. How big is your God? How big is he? Is he greater? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is the word in me than the situations I confront. Hallelujah. Here's a particular situation we saw in the New Testament, Mark chapter 9, verses 22 and 23 in the New Living. This is a familiar story. Here a man brought the disciples, his son, and he wanted them to do what? Cast the dumb spirit out of him. And then he complained, and then he said, well, they couldn't do it. So what did he do? He brought him to Jesus, and he said, look, he said, you know, I brought my son to your disciples. They couldn't cast him out. If there's anything you could do, he said, "If have mercy upon me." This is what I like about the New Living, Mark 9, 22. It says, the spirit, Jesus asked him, how long has it been like this? And the man said to him, the spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us. This is compassion. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. And what was Jesus' response in verse 23? What do you mean, if I can? Jesus asked, he said, anything is possible if a person believes. Glory to God. Anything is possible if a person believes. What did the angel say to Mary? Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Let's look at the Passion Translation of that verse. I like that. Luke 1:37, in the Passion Translation, and I like this. It's a little for me, I like it. It says, not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Glory to God. And that's similar, the New International Version. It says, for no word from God will ever fail. No word from God will ever fail. So when we take the word of God and we get the word of God into our hearts and release it and speak it, there is nothing that is impossible for us. So in other words, Mark 11, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. You know, I like what Pastor Hagin said, never face your mountain with your mouth closed. So it doesn't say, when it says here, nothing is impossible with God, or his word will not fail, or no word of God is without power. It doesn't say it's instant. It's a process. So when we speak to the mountain, it says it shall come to pass. So isn't that good news that we can face situations? It says, so you can never, here's a statement here, you can never achieve the impossible if you never attempt the impossible. So you can never achieve an impossible thing if you never attempt it. That's why I like what Brother Hagin said when he was alive. He said, I'd rather set my goals high and get the half of them than set them to nothing and reach all of them. So you've got to try the impossible. You've got to reach out and stretch something that's impossible for you to reach. And what does this say? With God, all things are possible. So we need to take hold of that. Believe God that I can do this, and begin to speak that in the name of Jesus. Luke 18:27. Let's look at that in the New Living. Luke 18:27 in the New Living. It says here, what is impossible for people is possible with God. What is impossible for people is what? Possible with God. If the devil is speaking to you and say, you'll never get this, you'll never have this, you'll never achieve this, you'll never get it, you need to just say, ha, ha, ha. You need to start laughing, because what did we read Sunday? It says, it's the thief, John 10:10. It's the thief that comes, but not, and I like the Amplified. Well, let's put it up in the Passion Translation. I like this better. John 10:10 in the Passion. Because we know what it says here in the King James, but the Passion, I like this. It says, the thief has only one thing in mind. One thing. He's not divided. He's one thing in mind. What does he want to do? Steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. So we were sharing Sunday, if you can begin to determine where this opposition is coming from, you can begin to determine, well, this not from God. God said here by Jesus' own words, he said, I've come to give you everything in abundance. That's not stealing, that's not killing, that's not destroying. Well, if we know that, then we know how to address it. We know how to confront it. How do we confront it? With faith. We put up the take the whole armor of God. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the helmet of salvation. Shod your feet with the gospel of peace. Put up the shield of faith that will do what? Quench all, not some, all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So we see here that we have been given the spirit of faith, and this is what we've been focused on at the beginning here. We having the spirit of faith, the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe. Believe every word that God has spoken, and we speak it, we release it. So is he big enough for you? I ask this question, is God big enough to do the impossible for you? We're talking about something, how we think, how our attitude is. When we talk about this team spirit, what is that spirit that you have in you? What is your heart? What is your spirit? What's your attitude? So in other words, I can believe something in my head, but what is in my heart? I like these lyrics to this song that Keith Moore wrote years ago. We've heard it sung by a number of people, Ramah Singers and Bad. It's this song, there's no God as big as mine. And I like the chorus. He said, oh, there's no God as big as mine. Too big a problem you just can't find. And it makes no difference what the devil tries. you say there's no God as big as mine. Hallelujah. So do we really believe, is God bigger than your problems? If you said yes, then his word is greater. His spirit is greater than the situation that you face. And you need to begin to do what? Release your words. So when we look at problems from the natural, it may be a big problem, but from God's vantage point, his viewpoint, it's a small problem. It may be impossible to you, but it's possible with God. You can overcome through the word of God. Glory to God. Listen to these scripture here. 1 John, we read this here, 1 John 4:4 in the New Living Translation. So is our belief, that's my question to you, is our belief that God is bigger and more powerful than any problem that confronts me? If it is, then we need to look at this. But you belong to God, my dear children. This is 1 John 4:4 in the New Living. You've already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So every time we face something, we begin to say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is the Spirit of God in me than this challenge, this situation that I face. And this faith that I have is not limited. Glory to God. Psalm 125, verse 1 and 2 in the New Living. Psalm 125. In the New Living, it says, those who trust in the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion. They will not be defeated, glory to God, but will what? Endure forever. Verse 2, just as the mountains surround Jerusalem. You ever been to Jerusalem? You can see the mountains that surround them. It's gorgeous. So the Lord surrounds his people both now and forever. So God is big enough to take care of every mountain in our lives, but we've got to believe that he can, and we've got to speak to the mountains and say with our mouth, be thou cast into the sea, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. Debt, I command you to be removed and cast into the sea. Sickness and disease, I command you to be cast into the sea and removed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I command this pressure and this adversity that's facing me, I command it to be removed and cast into the sea. Everything. The things, remember what we just got done reading, the things, Luke 18, verse 27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. All things are possible with God. I can do all things, Philippians 4:13. I can do what? All things how? Through Christ who strengthens me. He strengthens my spirit, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let God, let him increase in us. Let his word increase. Let his spirit increase. Let him strengthen us in our inner man. So those mountains that you may face, there's no mountain that's too big for God to not handle or break down. And we have to do what? Believe. How big is God in our life? Glory to God. We have a big God who desires to do what? Big things through us. Now, I shared something on Sunday. I want to just hit this scripture one more time, and let's remind ourselves of this in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 in the King James, James chapter 1. In the King James, and this here, when we look at facing issues and temptations or pressures. That's what temptations means. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, various temptations or trials. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith does what? Works something. It worketh patience. And it says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That means you're wanting nothing. So that means you've overcome here. You've come through. You're overcoming. And so what is this here? This word patience actually means endurance. It means, as I was sharing Sunday, it means another translator said it's staying power. Another contemporary translator said it's hang in there power. These are some notes from Sparkling Gems. And so it's an attitude. We could say it's a spirit of faith. A spirit of faith never gives in, never gives up, never lets go of something that it believes. And so here, this attitude never gives up. It holds out. It holds on. It outlasts the trial and tribulation and temptation. It perseveres. And when it gets like you, it's not going to work, then you hold out. You hold on. You begin to decree, I stand on God's word. I believe what the word of God says, and I decree it. I will not be defeated, and I will not quit. Glory to God. So this word, patience or endurance, this Greek word, hopomeno, it's a compound word. It conveys the idea of being steadfast, consistent, unwavering, unflinching. It is the attitude that declares, see, we have to declare something. I don't care how heavy the load gets or how much pressure I'm under, I'm not budging one inch. I'm not letting go of my faith and my confession of faith. This is my spot, and I'm telling you right now that there isn't enough pressure in the whole world to make me move or give it up. I'm not giving up. I will not be defeated, and I will not quit. Hallelujah. The New Living Translation of James 1, 2 through 4, reads a little different, but it says, dear brothers and sisters, when trouble of any kind comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Hallelujah. Verse 3, for you know that when your faith is tested, your faith is going to be tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. You know, sometimes people just say, I can't take this anymore. I've had enough. You've heard this. Sometimes we may have even said it. I've had enough. I quit. I give up. You didn't let your endurance have a chance to grow. Now, it could be, you know, I've been through seasons, some of us have, where it might be that's the time to move or make a change. Sometimes God works in those ways to make us dissatisfied with something. But you better be sure that it's God leading you to make a change and change and switch up, or it's pressure to cause you to quit and leave and give up, because there's a big difference. So this says here in verse 4, so let it grow, when your endurance is fully developed. See, fully developed. This is a process. You will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. And King James says wanting nothing. This says needing nothing. So that means if you've reached a point of needing nothing, that means your endurance outlasted the issue, the test, the trial, and faith got what you were believing for. If you need nothing, that means you've got everything you were believing for. Doesn't that mean that? So to me, this says here, you've got to let it develop. You've got to let it last or outlast the trial and temptation. Hallelujah. Excuse me. This is another interpretive translation by Rick Renner, and he's coming out with one. It's called the RIV, or the Renner Interpretive Version. In James 1:4, it says, "But let patience have her perfect work." I'm talking about the kind of attitude that hangs in there, never giving up, refusing to surrender to obstacles, and turning down every opportunity to quit. Oh, I like that. I'm going to read that again. But let patience have her perfect work. Let it grow. Let it work. I'm talking about the kind of attitude that does what? Hangs in there, never giving up, refusing to surrender to obstacles. You know, the scripture in James says, submit yourself, therefore, to God, resist the devil. It doesn't say submit or surrender to obstacles. This says here, refusing to surrender to obstacles, turning down every opportunity to quit. Hallelujah. So we see here that we need to hold steady. You know, when I think about refusing to quit or refusing to give in, to surrender to obstacles, I'm brought to mind of the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. And I'll just look at this briefly. And I'll read this in verse 25 of chapter 5. It says, "A certain woman in the King James, which had an issue of blood 12 years." So she had some stuff going on here. She had some obstacles. And she lived in a society that if you were considered unclean, if you had an issue of blood, if you went out in society, you had to yell, "Unclean, unclean." If you were out and got caught, you could be stoned, could lose your life. In verse 26, "And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was what? Nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus," when she heard the word of God, it says here, "she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said," I think in the Amplified it says, "she kept saying, 'If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?'" So he knew there was a release of power out flowing out of him. He sensed it, and he felt it, and so did she. In verse 31, "And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?'" See, he didn't know who touched him, but he knows somebody did. How did he know it? It wasn't by the gifts of the Spirit. He knew somebody had touched him because virtue, power came out of him. It flowed out of him. "And what? He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And what did he say in verse 34? And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" So here, she began to operate the principles of faith. She believed in her heart. She believed something that she heard. Either someone spoke something to her about Jesus. When she said she heard of Jesus, so that means she may not have heard him directly, but she heard something about him or of him. And obviously she heard that he heals. He's healing everybody. And what did she do? She took a risk by faith. That spirit of faith propelled her to do what? Go out and say, I'm going to have this. I'm going to get this. I'm going to be healed. And that's what she said. She kept saying, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she was. And so the spirit of faith, this spirit of faith takes hold of those things that we believe in. As we were saying before, that this position of faith, or this belief of faith, we believe the words that have been spoken to us through the Word of God. We believe it, and we take that, and we begin to do what? Meditate upon it. Let's look at one scripture here as we close in Joshua 1:8. And let's look at the Amplified, a classic, Joshua 1:8. And this, I like this translation. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it. How long? Day and night, that thou mayest observe, to do according to all that is written therein. For then, that means you've got to do what? Meditate on it day and night and observe to do it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. I like the New Living. It says, only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have that up. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written therein or in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. So there's no limits. Faith has no limits. And so because of that, we can prosper, but we're going to have to do what? Meditate in the Word of God. We're going to have to take this to heart. It didn't say how I feel. It says, God said it. That's why we shared that Sunday. I like that saying. God says it. That settles it, and I believe it. So as God has spoken, let's take his word to heart, and let's begin to decree, I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have, and I can do what the Word of God says I can do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if he says I'm an overcomer, then I am. If he says I'm healed, then I am. If he says that he meets all of my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus, then he does. And so we need to begin to decree those things that he says he is to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, praise God. Let's, before we close, we're going to just give those that may be tuned in an opportunity to confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that you are God. I believe that you sent your Son Jesus here to this earth to die for the sins of mankind and my sins. I believe that he took my sins and took them to hell. And when sin was paid for, I believe that he was raised from the dead. And as the scripture says, we were raised from the dead, because the scripture also says when we were justified, he was released from hell. So, Father, I believe that my sins have been paid for. I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior, and I ask you to make something new of me. Cleanse my heart with the blood of Jesus, and I receive you now and believe that I am saved in Jesus' name. Glory to God. If you said that simple prayer and you meant it in your heart, you believed it in your heart and confessed it with your mouth, the scripture says you are saved. And so I thank God. Let us know that you made that profession of faith, and you can reach out to us via email or mail or by phone as they have on the screen. And we rejoice with you. if you are online and watching and you made that profession of faith. Glory to God.